came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. In chapter 41, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And verse 9 of chapter 41, Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in a ward and captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream, and one night, I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man in Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Now, chapter 40, we have Joseph, remember, in prison, wrongfully charged, wrongfully accused. He was serving in the house of Potiphar, who was the chief executioner of Pharaoh, and Potiphar's wife thought to have relations with Joseph. And Joseph was wrongfully accused by Potiphar's wife of attempting to rape her, and was then put into the prison. But we noticed in verse 21 of chapter 39 that it said the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And then in chapter 39 and verse 23, keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Five times in chapter 39 you read the Lord was with Joseph. Now in chapter 40, the first verses give us the dream of the butler and the interpretation, and the dream of the baker and the interpretation as well. The butler was the cupbearer. Oftentimes the cupbearer was a very important person in the dynasties of the lands of that time, because the cupbearer was what we might call the wine taster or the sampler. And more than just selecting the wine for the Pharaoh or something, he would be the one who would drink the stuff first and see if there's any poison in there or anything. So he was a real important person. But nevertheless, for whatever reason, these two had offended Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had them cast into prison, the chief butler and the chief baker. And so the two are cast in there. Well, it just so happens, so to speak, that Joseph finds out that the men have dreamed these dreams, and they come to him in verse 8. Joseph says, "Why are you looking so sad?" in verse 7, and they tell him that they've dreamed a dream. And Joseph says that interpretations belong to God, and so he would interpret their dreams for them. Now, in chapter 39, in verse 20, we see again what it meant to follow the Lord. Chapter 39, in verse 20, Joseph's master took him. He put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. And we see that Joseph took a stand for that which was right. He refused to compromise. He refused to compromise his character, and he refused to do the thing that he said was sin in the sight of God. He might have done it. It's a possibility that he could have gotten away with it. The character of this woman was such that nobody would have probably been surprised about it anyway. I mean, the rest of the people in the house were probably familiar with what kind of woman she was. And yet Joseph knew that ultimately this sin was not just against his master who had done him right. The sin was against God, and he took a stand for the Lord. And when you take a stand for the Lord, and when you do the thing that is right and you follow the Lord, it doesn't always mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. Oftentimes it means just the opposite. It's always been true that they who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph. We'd like to even tell our children sometimes that if you'll just do the thing that is right, you'll see that everything's going to be hunky-dory. But that's not really being honest with them. What we have to instill in our children, and what we have to realize that the Word of God teaches, is that we do right no matter what the consequence might be. We do right no matter what the end result of it might be. We do right simply because it is right. And that's the thing that we have to do. Not what's in it for us, what are we going to get out of it, how will it affect us or anything. Or how much pressure is being put upon us to make this decision, but we do right because it's right. That is totally contrary to the philosophy that much of the world is espousing today, what's known as situation ethics. Situation ethics says every situation is different. Whatever is right in that given situation, whatever makes you, feel good or whatever you feel is right at that particular time, if it's going to benefit you or be a plus for you, well, then you can go ahead and do it. The Word of God talks about absolutes, and it tells us that there are certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong, and following the thing that is right will not always be the easy road, but it is the right road. And that's what happened with Joseph. You see, following the Lord meant that he had to go to prison, that he was wrongfully accused, And he ended up in prison. But of course, we notice in verse 23 again that the Lord was with him and the Lord made him to prosper. Another thing that I note about Joseph is that whenever he speaks, now up until this time, you don't hear Joseph speaking a lot. But when he does speak, you always hear him mentioning his God. In chapter 39 and verse 9, one of the first times we hear him speak in Egypt is when this woman attempts to get him to have relations with her. And he says in verse 9, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" In chapter 40, when the butler and the baker comes to Joseph for the interpretation of his dream, in verse 8, Joseph says, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" So again, he gives testimony to his God. He's not one that's taking credit upon himself, and he is one that always seems to make mention of his God and his relationship with the Lord. In chapter 40 and verse 16, chapter 41 and verse 16, when Joseph is called before Pharaoh to interpret the dreams that Pharaoh has, Joseph answers Pharaoh and says, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Now, you've got to remember that when Joseph used this term, he and Pharaoh were not necessarily thinking on the same wavelength. In other words, when Joseph said God, you see, or when he said in the Hebrew, Elohim, he was not talking about the gods of the Egyptians. And the Pharaoh would have known that he was talking about the God that he believed in. You see, the true and the living God, of course, as we know him. But you have to remember that. It wasn't just like he said God and Pharaoh God, and it all meant the same thing, because the Egyptians obviously had many gods. But Joseph said the God, the living God, the true God, he is the one that will give Pharaoh an answer. So we find Joseph speaking and mentioning his God. Joseph also had a trial, in a sense, a real test, in this sense, that he saw everything contrary to what he had originally prophesied. You remember that his initial, and a lot of Joseph's life seems to be centered around dreams, doesn't it? You remember he tells his brothers first about the dream they saw. He tells the chief butler and the baker their interpretation of their dream. When it comes to Pharaoh, he interprets his dream for him. But the first dream he had, remember he said, "I saw the sheaves, all your sheaves, they were bowing down and doing obeisance to me. And then I saw the moon and all, you know, it was bowing and doing obeisance to me." And it was a dream of his exalted position. But instead of being exalted to a position where people are bowing to him and recognizing him and honoring him, we find him in prison. We find him being sold as a slave into Egypt. And it seemed as if everything was contrary to that which God had originally shown to him. It would be easy now to think, where are those promises? Where are the promises of one day I would be exalted? Because now, as he looked at the circumstances of his life, he saw that none of that was true. Rather than being exalted, he's placed in prison again. So he was tested in this area. And I believe that we too are often tested according to the word of the Lord, according to the testimony of the Lord. What do we do when the difficulties come? And Joseph did not evidently give up or cast his faith aside when things got difficult. The sufficient thing is the Lord is with us. The Lord was with Joseph. Paul could say towards the end of his life in 2 Timothy that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, just before the great apostle was to leave this world, and just as his life was ending, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, find it, chapter 4, verse 16. At my first answer, that is, at my first defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. In other words, when Paul was called before the Roman government in a trial to give defense, he says, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. And yet he says in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So here we find that this must have been a difficult thing for the Apostle Paul. I mean, here was one who gave his life in ministry to other people, in service to other people. And yet when it came to that time of real deep need in his life, he said, all men forsook me. Nobody stood by me. And yet he drew his comfort from the fact that the Lord was with him. And so in the trials of life, just like with Paul or just like with Joseph, the irons of affliction are still felt, and yet the Lord is there with us to strengthen us and to encourage us and to comfort us. And so the Apostle Paul was used. Out of these great difficult circumstances in Paul's life came tremendous blessing, because he wrote the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, the book of Philemon, 2 Timothy, the other books that he wrote, which were prison epistles, letters that he wrote out of prison, you see. And the Lord used him, even in those adverse circumstances. And he used him to write the book of Philippians, which is a book of joy and rejoicing, out of prison, to show that the Lord is the one who is in control of the circumstances, and there can be joy and rejoicing even in the midst of affliction and difficulty and adverse circumstances. Now, Joseph was 17 when the testing began, and by the time he stood before Pharaoh, he was 30 years old. So that's 13 years. 13 years that went by. And yet he learned a lot, I believe, in his suffering that was useful when it came time for him to be able to reign. It was through wisdom that he interpreted the butler's dream, and it's that same wisdom that he eventually interprets Pharaoh's dream. You see, he used that wisdom that God had given him, the revelation that God gave him, to interpret the dream of the butler, and ultimately it would be this that would interpret the dream of Pharaoh, and that would exalt him to a place of prominence and leadership within the land of Egypt. And you know, you may not think that God has given you much to do, or that God has placed a lot into your hands, but if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think sometimes we fully grasp or fully realize the significance of what we do in this life in which we live. Even in little affairs of life, that God has entrusted to us certain capacities and certain gifts and certain enablements that He expects us to use, none the least of which is the wisdom that He has given us in whatever capacity that might be. And Paul makes a statement to a church that is considered by most to be one of the most carnal churches, one of the most worldly churches, the church at Corinth. And yet Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, concerning the certain actions of the Corinthians, he says, in the context of them going to law against one another and bringing lawsuits against one another, he says in verse 2, do ye not know that the saints, that is the believers, shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. He says there that the believers in Christ will judge angels. And one of the things that God is doing in our life, in this life that we live here in the world now, is placing us in different capacities, different circumstances, different situations, and grooming us and training us through the everyday affairs of life to use that which He has given us so that one day we might be in a position, as we're told here in 1 Corinthians 6, to even judge angels. Now that's a startling thought. And it's far beyond anything that we can see at this present time. But if you would have looked at Joseph's life at that time, you wouldn't have thought that this man in prison was one day going to be second only in name to Pharaoh of the greatest civilization known to the world at that particular time. And yet Joseph would rule that land as prime minister of that land. He was really number one. Pharaoh was over him only in title. Joseph ruled the land of Egypt and provided for the civilized world in that area their sustenance through the wisdom that God gave him. And yet it was those little things first, you see. He used the wisdom that God gave him. He used the capacity, and he didn't shy away from it. And the same principle is found in the New Testament as well. Now, as I said, if you'd have seen Joseph, that boy that said to his brothers, one day, you know, you'll submit to me. If you'd have seen him as a slave, and you'd have said, well, Joseph, you said one day, you know, every knee would bow to you. If you'd have seen him as a prisoner and said, one day, you know, you're going to rule over the world, you wouldn't have been able to see it. And so it is today. If you look at believers in Christ today, just from the outward appearance of things, you think the church is failing. You think the believers aren't making any headway. You think that the church is filled with weakness and so on. And yet the Lord has promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. If you looked at Joseph in that prison, you would have hardly thought that there's the man that one day is going to rule the world. And if you looked at believers today, and if you look in your own life, you'd hardly think, one day I'm going to judge angels. You see? And yet, this is what the Word of God says. And it's not just the outward appearance of things. We tend to just judge things in light of what we see, in light of what we experience ourselves. But we have to view things in light of what the Word of God says. And that's exactly what it does tell us, that one day we will judge angels, that the church will triumph, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. They will not have the victory over us. And yet, oftentimes, appearance is different. You know, appearance, it seems otherwise. Now, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about this, too, just from a purely human level. Now, Joseph, how did he end up in Egypt? What caused him to go down into Egypt? Remember? How did he get there in the first place? No, his brothers are going to eventually... Yeah, he went to look for his brothers. Yeah. And what did his brothers do? What did they want to do to him? That's right. They wanted to kill him. But instead of killing him, they decided to sell him. Yeah, there came some merchants by, and they decided to sell him instead of killing him. At least one of them said, hey, let's don't kill him. We can make some money off of him. We'll sell him. So they sold him as a slave, and he went down to Egypt. Now, why did his brothers hate him? You remember what he told his brothers in chapter 37? He told them about his dream. He said, I dreamed a dream. In chapter 37, verse 7, we were binding sheaves in the field. Lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. Behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance. That is, they bowed down to my sheaf. His brothers understood what he was talking about. In verse 8, they said, shall thou indeed reign over us? Shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And then in verse 9, he dreamed another dream. He told his brother, and he said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him. His father observed, saying, so they hated him because of the dream, because Joseph said, one day you're going to bow down to me, which did eventually come to pass. And of course, Joseph was the special object of his father's love. He was the firstborn child of the wife that Jacob loved, Rachel, rather than the child of Leah, and so on and so on it went. But the initial thing that got him in trouble was telling his brothers this dream. They hated him for that dream because he said, one day I'm going to rule over you. Now, we don't know the spirit in which he said that. Some people think he gave it in the spirit of braggadocio or of arrogance or of cockiness, you know, and others think that he just related to them that which God revealed to them. But whatever the way he gave it was, the manner in which he gave it, they hated him because of that dream. And so when he told them the dream, it was after that that when they saw him coming, well, what did they say when they see him coming? They said in verse, verse 19, they said to one another, behold, this dreamer cometh. You see? So you see, that was the thing that stuck in their craw. Here comes that dreamer. Well, we'll see what about his dreams now. You know, that was the thing that really stuck in their craw. And that's what they titled him with. Here comes that dreamer. We'll fix his dreams. We'll kill him. So it was a dream that got him in trouble with the brethren. Now, you've been through that, and what good has your dream done you? I mean, even if God gave you the dream, what's it done you? It's landed you in a prison in Egypt. Now, here comes a butler and a baker, and they said, Joseph says, why are you sad? And they said, well, we dreamed a dream. You know, and Joseph, you know, he could have went, dreams. You know, I've had it up to here with dreams. Dreams got me into this place. I mean, a dream landed me in prison. You know, a dream took me out of my country, made me a slave, and then I ended up in this prison because of dreams. I don't want to hear any more about dreams. But you see, that wasn't what his response was it? You see, he was faithful, and he gave testimony to the Lord, and he said, interpretations belong to God. Tell me what your dream is. Now, he does this, and after he interprets to them the dream, the first one was an easy one. He says to the butler, here's what's going to happen to you. Pharaoh, in 3 days, is going to let you out of this place. He's going to restore you a position of honor. You're going to be in the same job that you had before, and you're going to bear the cup to Pharaoh again. And by the way, listen, when you get out of this place in verse 14, remember me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. And bring me out of this prison house. And he goes on to tell him how he was stolen out of the land of Hebrews and done all this injustice and so on. And so, you know, the butler gets out. It happens just like Joseph said. Well, the next dream, though, you know, the baker tells him his dream, and Joseph says, you know, this one isn't so good. He says, this is the interpretation. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to lift your head up, but he's not going to restore you a place of honor. He's going to lift your head right off your shoulders. He's going to chop your head off. And he's going to feed your flesh to the birds. Now, that wasn't an easy thing to tell somebody, you know, that was in prison already for that. And so that's exactly what happened. He hanged the chief baker, as Joseph has said. And so he was faithful in interpretation of the dreams that God had given him. And yet, when it says, the last verse of chapter 40, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And that's why I read verse 41, or chapter 41, verse 1, 2 years. Now, here was Joseph. And Joseph, you see, says, perfectly natural thing to do. Hey, you're going to get out. You're going to be right hand at the right hand of Pharaoh. When you get out, put in a good word for me. Tell Pharaoh how I was placed here wrongfully and tell him, you know, I was stolen away out of my land and get me out of this place. And yet, it wasn't to be. 2 more years that God allowed him to stay in that place. And then, a series of circumstances happened. And you see, think about it. Here's Joseph from the purely human level, looking at it again. It was a perfectly natural thing to do, wasn't it? He wanted to get out of that prison. And yet, if he'd have gotten out at that time, it was not God's timing for him to get out. It wasn't God's timing. For when he does get out, it's going to be at that time when Pharaoh has his dream in chapter 41, and Joseph's going to interpret that dream, and Pharaoh's going to see the wisdom that Joseph has, and he's going to exalt him to a position that will put Joseph in a position to rule over the land of Egypt and to supply for his brothers and the nations around during this time of severe famine that takes place in the land. So it wasn't God's timing. Again, Joseph could have looked at that and said, man, you know, here I'm faithful, I interpret these dreams, I tell the butler to remember me. What does he do? He forgets about me. 2 years go by. And yet, God is still in control. And you don't read in these scriptures about the Lord revealing himself to Joseph. He may have. We don't have any record of it. You don't read about him telling Joseph, like he did Jacob, I'll be with you, I'll bring you back to the land, and so on. He may have, but we're not told that. And yet, above it all, the Lord was with him. Through all the difficulties, God was supernaturally arranging not only Joseph, but the situation in the world, the circumstances in the world, and fitting Joseph into his plan. Using Joseph to fit into his plan. So it's a wonderful story about the Lord's working, what we call behind the scenes, and how God superintends over the life of Joseph to eventually bring him to that position to where he will be the ruler of the world at that particular time. And when you think about these, Joseph being cast into the prison house and with these two men, he brought a message of life to one, and he brought a message of death to the other. And I think there's a deeper message in that as well, that the gospel is a message of life unto some. Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? He says that we bear a message of life unto life, and we bear a message of death unto death. You see, it was only Joseph's responsibility to faithfully discharge the message. And so it is when we share the gospel. The gospel that we share will be unto some a message of life unto life. And yet, we can't save anybody. The Lord does the saving. To some, it will be a message of death. In other words, they will reject the message, and they won't receive the message. There's nothing we can do about that. We must just be faithful in presenting the message of the gospel. And for the butler, there was a message of life. For the baker, there was a message of death, and yet the message was true. And we think about this butler. Think about him forgetting about Joseph. You can hardly imagine him being able to forget about the man who got him out of prison. And yet he did forget him. In verse 23, the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. But God will cause him to come to remembrance of Joseph after 2 years, when Pharaoh dreams his dream. And then Joseph will be called out of prison and exalted to that position which God had intended for him to be, all in the Lord's timing. Joseph wanted out right then. Hey, when you get out of here, remember me, get me out. The Lord said, no, 2 more years. And so, as we said earlier, he was...
The butler remembers?
Yes, the butler finally remembers. And what happens in chapter 41, as we'll see next time, is that Pharaoh has a dream, and he can't figure it out. And so, in verse 9 of chapter 41, the chief butler goes, I remember my faults this day. You were mad with me, you put me in the prison, and we dreamed a dream, and there was this young man, a Hebrew, we told him the dream, he interpreted it, and what he said came to pass. And so Pharaoh calls for Joseph, and he says, tell me what my dream means. And Joseph tells him, and we'll see that what happens after that is that Pharaoh says, well, you know, if this is what's going to take place, who can we put in charge of this? Who is a man in whom we find wisdom? And then finally he's going to say, well, stands to reason. You've got wisdom. We'll put you in charge. you know, to Joseph, and that's what eventually takes place. So, and yet we think that he was 17 when he went to visit his brethren. He's almost 30 by the time he rules with Pharaoh. It took 13 years of prison, in and out of prison, being a slave, being in service in the land, in a foreign land, being a young man, being removed from the home, and all the testing that God put him through to bring him to the place. And yet in all of it, Joseph remains, from the account, faithful to the Lord. Father, his family, his, you know, everything that he'd known, his land, his culture, and yet the Lord was with him the whole time. See, there again, as I say, if you look just at Joseph's life, you'd say, man, God has abandoned that boy. Why didn't God do something? Why didn't God get him out of there? You see? And yet the Lord was working, but he was working according to his timetable. And throughout, you have those little reminders in there. Just when you think Joseph, and he has been done this grave injustice, and you say, man, there it is, you know, God's not with him. The Scripture reminds us, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was in control of the whole thing and would ultimately bring it out. And that's the truth of that verse we looked at again, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Joseph's life is an example of Romans 8:28. And that's a very strong verse that says we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. In other words, God is able to take and arrange all of the circumstances to ultimately work towards his goal and to bring good out of them. Well, let's stop there and then close in a word of prayer. And if you have questions or comments, we can have those afterwards.